Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will. Help us, Father, that we could be a blessing to those that are lost, that they could see their need of Jesus. And Father, to those that are saved, that they could see their need to walk closer to you. And Father, we pray for ourselves, that we ourselves could walk closer to you. Be more of the light that you'd have us to be in this world. Forgive us for our failures and shortcomings. Strengthen us where we're weak. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come today, we're in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be picking up in verse 10. You might remember last week we ended off with some people that didn't serve the Lord, that wasn't following Christ, that were following themselves instead of the Lord. And you pick up in verse 10, and he begins verse 10 with the word but. That means, man, that changes everything, doesn't it? He says, while there's these people that are going away from the Lord, while there's perilous times coming when people don't want to hear the truth, when they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and they're denying the things of the Lord, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. What's he reminding him of here? You've known people that have walked in the truth. And of course, Paul's using himself as an example. He says, you know how I've walked. You know how I've lived. You know my doctrine. You know how I stood for the Lord. You know where I stand biblically. You know my manner of life, how I've lived. Purpose. It's my purpose to accomplish my will or God's will. Faith. You know where I put my trust. You know whose promises I've held to. Long suffering, charity, patience. He's saying, Timothy, you can look at all these other things and let it discourage you, or you can be an example to others. And Paul knew that he had been an example to others in faith. He said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He said, you've seen how God has helped me through each of these difficult situations. You've watched me, you've seen my life, and you've seen what God has done through all these things. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And all he's doing here in verse 12 is he's kind of preparing him. He's saying, if you live for God, persecutions will come. And of course, he knows by the statements we read beforehand, and by going back in this chapter and what you read beforehand, the persecutions are not always from outside in the world. Certainly they're there, but he said, you're going to receive them from people that say they're God, that say they're of God. He said, be ready for it. Don't be shocked by it. Don't be surprised by it. Prepare for this. And sometimes when the Lord leads and I preach on this subject, people say, well, that's not encouraging, preacher, to say that I'm going to be persecuted. No, but it prepares you. You know, it would be a shame if a sergeant that was preparing, you know, soldiers and basic training for battle, if he didn't say, hey, guess what's going to happen when you go to war? They're going to shoot at you. We're in a spiritual warfare, and some Christians have forgotten that. And the first time they get a shot fired at them, or Satan throws a fiery dart at them, they're going, this shouldn't happen. They're almost in shock. And it shouldn't be a shock. It should be, I kind of expected this. I was looking at this. I knew that it was coming. I knew that if I stood up for God, Satan's going to attack me. And the people that are against the truth are going to attack me. And if that's not happening, then you're not standing for the truth. And he's just letting Timothy know here, okay, you need to stand for God as I stood for God. And you know, if you stand for God, persecutions are going to happen. Afflictions are going to happen. Satan's going to come after you. This is going to be all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus. In other words, according to His Word, are going to face persecution, not only from outside in the world, but from God's people. And when I say from God's people, those that claim to be God's people. He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He says, listen, there's going to be people that believe false doctrines, false religion, false teachings. And don't be shocked by it. You know, sometimes people look around, they say, well, I'm really shocked that the world has turned so sinful. Why? Didn't God say it was going to happen? Didn't God warn us that this would come to pass? Sometimes we're looking at church and we're going, I'm really surprised that there's so few people. I tell you what, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. Guess what? People are turning to their own sin. It's what God said would happen. And what he's telling Timothy here is, guess what? There's going to be evil people. Or some people want to tell their kid all fairy tales and rose stories and be like, oh, everything's going to be beautiful and everything's going to work out wonderful. That's not what the Bible teaches. It says if you're going to live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. And guess what? You're not only going to come across evil people, but you're going to see evil people grow as time goes on. You're going to see wickedness abound. You know what our job is to do as God's people? We fight against it. And spiritual warfare every day that we live. I would be a poor teacher. It's part of my job as a minister is to be a teacher. I would be a poor teacher if I did not prepare the people that I get to preach to for the battle that is at hand. I don't tell people you're going to be just running through fields and flowery fields and just water and everything's perfect. I know God can take care of us. I know God can feed us. I know what God can do for us even in the presence of our enemies. I very well know what God is capable of. And I love to preach on those things too. But at the same time, I must prepare you because there's battles. And guess what? With those battles, sometimes things don't go the way that we want them to. There's some things that have to be accomplished in this world before the Lord returns that we don't like to see. But we have to deal with it. In Timothy's day, as he saw churches go after false doctrines and false teachings, and those people who had come against the true church and God's people, as he faced persecutions and trials, do you think he enjoyed watching any of that? But he had to be prepared to face it, didn't he? And Paul did that. He prepared him. He said, listen, if you're going to live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. And guess what? You're going to face evil people. And sometimes those evil people look like they're gaining victories while it looks like you're losing. But we know who's got the victory. What is he telling Timothy to do? Keep the faith. You keep going on no matter what your eyes see outside. You keep fighting. You don't quit just because it gets hard or tough or difficult. And that's why he said, but continue. While these seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, while you see that, he said, but continue. Thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Some people say, well, Paul was saying you learned these things from me. Well, not partly true, but who taught him more, the Holy Spirit or Paul? The Word of God, the Word of truth, or Paul? Notice what said next. That you've learned these things from. How are you assured that these things are the truth? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Don't be deceived. Salvation's only by one way. You know the Word of God tells you how to be saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by religious rituals and all these other things. It's by faith in Christ. The Scriptures are what give you hope and assurance and strength. And they're what teach you what's right and wrong, what is good and what is evil, where to stand and where not to stand. He says, all Scripture. That's from Genesis to Revelation, dear friend. And at this time, the Word of God was not yet completed, but it was shortly to be. And he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, what does that mean? It's not, Paul didn't write what Paul wanted to write. He wrote what the Holy Spirit moved him to write. Peter made the same statement, that there was something better than listening to Peter that they had, which was listening to the Word of God. When you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, you've got a more sure word of prophecy that you need to hold on to. You got something better than just man's words or man's ideas. You got that inspired, true Word of God. And there is a true Word of God in English. It's contained in the Authorized or King James Bible. And it's still just as good today as it's ever been. He said that Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And notice this part. It is profitable. Oh, we love that word profit, don't we? Man, it's something profitable. I'll tell you what, it's more than gold if you take it. It's more precious to you than gold or silver or rubies or anything else you can get. You read the book of Proverbs, and that's what the father tried to teach his son in the book of Proverbs, is that it's more precious than gold. And this Word of God, we know from the Psalms, has been tried in a furnace, purified 7 times. It is pure. It's reliable. It's unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if we take it to heart, it's profitable. What's it profitable for? Doctrine. Oh, those things that a lot of people today don't want to stand upon. Doctrine of baptism, doctrine of salvation, doctrine of judgment, doctrine of godliness, godly living. So many doctrines, you know, there may be a few of you that have looked up on sermonaudio.com, but on Tuesday nights where we pastor, that's when we have our midweek service. I've been going through the doctrines, at least the core doctrines of the church. I know I won't touch on every single one of them, but I've been trying to go through a list of doctrines that we believe. And I think we're on week 23 of that, if I'm not mistaken, at this present time. At the time that this plays on the radio, I'll probably be near 28 or something like that, and still have more to go. And it's doctrines that we hold to that are unchangeable, that cannot be compromised. And yet, there's a lot of people who don't know the real doctrines and how important each of those doctrines are. But the Word of God is profitable to give us doctrine. sound doctrine. He said, for reproof. For reproving. And that means correcting. Which he goes on for correction. Reproof means you're saying you're doing something wrong. Then you correct that wrong. And then for instruction in righteousness, then you instruct in what is correct and what is right. That's what the Word of God does. It reproves our wrong. It corrects it and turns it to that which is right in the eyes of God. That's what the Word of God does. It takes every thought, every emotion, every idea that man has, and it puts it to the test against God's Word, and it says, does this stand God's Word? And if it doesn't, then it's no good. Then it's not worth anything. Then you can just lay it aside. But if it is God's Word, you hold to it with all your might and with all your strength and with everything you have. Because it's there for a purpose that the man of God, a child of God, a saved person, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What he's saying here is the Word of God gives us every tool that we need to bring glory and honor to God in our life. That's what the Word of God does. It gives us all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the instruction, all the doctrine, the principles, the statutes, the judgments, the commandments. It gives us everything that we need. Everything that we need. There's nothing lacking. I don't have to go to hundreds of pages of the Book of Mormon to get something because I've already got everything I need in the perfect Word of God. I don't have to go through like some religions and take a Bible and say, well, I don't think this was really what God intended. And you know, I receive letters from people sometimes through the mail saying, well, you know, this wasn't in the original manuscripts. My goodness, there was over 5,000 manuscripts. And anybody that has studied the received text knows that every word you have in an authorized King James Bible was in those manuscripts. And it was true. And it was pure. And it was proven. And every single last word had to be agreed upon. Anybody knows that. But they're receiving man's writings, which try to take away from the Word of God, instead stand upon the truth of it. And if you have to try to take out of the Bible to prove what you believe, you're not going by the Bible, you're going by what some men say the Bible is. And that's not the truth, and that's not what we go by. I've had people tell me, well, you know that heaven and hell really isn't taught. And I'm like, Jesus talked about it more than anybody. And there's thousands of manuscripts that coincide with him testifying that it is the truth, that there is a real heaven, there is a real hell. There is a real judgment. He can try to twist that any way he wants to and be that ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth person. But the truth is the truth. You can try to say God is love all the day long, but you leave off the fact that God is a righteous judge instead of just that he is love and wants people to repent. If you're missing the judge side of it, you're missing the truth. But rightly divided and put in its proper place, Scripture compared with Scripture, you can see the truth of what God has said. And if you do, it will thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. It gives you everything that you need. It is the perfect Word of God. And God has given it to us to give us every single thing that we need so that we know exactly where we stand, where we're rooted, grounded, and settled on the truth. And that's what Paul is commending here unto Timothy, even as he's facing death. He says, while all these others will follow all kinds of false doctrines, while they'll be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, while they'll try to search to how they can please themselves instead of pleasing God, he says, but you can be established. You can be where God wants you to be. You can see the blessings of God in your life. But to do that, you're going to have to go by the perfect authority and perfect Word of God. And it'll give you everything you need. Or you can be a part of a true church. Not just something that says church on a sign, but a true Bible-believing church that can trace itself back to the Lord Jesus Christ by doctrine. A church that has existed through all the ages. A church without end. Amen. And there is a true church. There is a true set of doctrines. There is a true way to worship God. There is a true way to live. There is a true way to honor your mother and father. There is a true way to love your wife or to love your husband or raise up your children to nurture and admonition of the Lord. There are true things that are right. There are true things that are wrong. And the way that you get the knowledge of all that is by the authority of Scripture. It gives you the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of all those things. It lets you know what a scriptural baptism is versus a false baptism. It lets you know what a true minister is versus a false minister. It lets you know what things are edifying versus what is tradition. It lets you delve in to the very depth of truth and see what is profitable, what is good, what is edifying, what is needful, what is beneficial. It gives you all those things. And that's what Paul brought Timothy back to. And he said, here, Timothy, here's what you need to be focused on. Here's where your attention needs to go. Here's where you get the knowledge, the assurance of what truth is. It's right here in the Word of God. In the same way that he commended Timothy to that, it's the same way I commend you to that. The Word of God, rightly divided, rightly put into place, is exactly what gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding and lets us know truth from what is false. Let me tell you, most people are following that which is false. That's just the truth. That's not casting stones or anything else. It's been the truth throughout all generations. Most people follow that which is false. Most people are the 10 out of the tribes of Israel versus the 2 of the spies that go in and spy out the land, say it's just what God promised and God's going to deliver it into our hands. Most people follow the 10 that give an evil report instead of the 2 that tell them the truth. And let me tell you, that's been the way it has been for years and years. That's why when the Lord returns, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. There may be churches all over the place, but how many of them are preaching the truth? But there is truth. And you say, but I'm confused. You know what the Word of God does? It takes away confusion. It makes it where you see clearly. When you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you've been saved not because you joined a church, or you got baptized, you got some spiritual gift, or you repeated some prayer, but from your heart, you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, trusting Him for all your salvation. When you've done that, dear friend, you've got an aid, a comforter, a teacher, a guide, that through the Word of God, the true Word of God, can help you to see all things. You'll notice that part of the reason that we've gone through this, listen, I want to give you knowledge. My goal is to help you. That's my goal. My goal is to give you knowledge of truth. I want you to know the difference between a true minister and a false minister, not because I'm trying to belittle somebody else, but because you need to know what's true. It'll help you. You need to know what true doctrine is versus false doctrine. You need to know what the Word of God says, because it's the only thing that can set you free from all the confusions. Satan loves confusion. But the Word of truth, rightly divided, removes confusion. And it gets to clarifying, simple answers. And you'll say, I'll know what's right, because this is what the Word of God says. I know where to stand. I know that I'm saved, because here's what the Word of God says. It does so much for us if we will take heed to it, if we will listen to it, if we will go by it and not try to argue it away. There's a lot of ever-learning people that are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You going to go with them? Or are you going to follow the truth of God's Word? Thy Word is truth. Men can convince you of anything, and trust me, there's people that will tell you anything you're willing to listen to. But there's only one truth. There's only one true set of doctrines. One way of salvation, and there's a way to please God after we're saved. And that's in and through the true church, and according to the true doctrines. And that's what Paul brought Timothy back to. He said, I'm going to give you that which is good. I'm going to give you that which is true. Yeah, there'll be all these others. There'll be liars, deceivers that'll be deceive themselves. There'll be all that. But you need to continue in the things which thou hast learned. And remember who you learned them from. And that wasn't Paul, was it? It was the Word of truth. And he brought him back to the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, who are able to thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. They're good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This Word of God is powerful because it's not what men gave of their own mindset. It's what the Holy Spirit moved them to write. He said, it's good. It's that divinely inspired and inerrant Word of truth. And he said, it's good for you to take heed to. It'll give you everything you need. He'll do the same for me and you today too, if we'll take heed to it. And I pray that we will. If you have anything upon your heart, I want you to feel free that you can call or write us at your convenience. My number is 601-606-4681. You can write me, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email me, my email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You're certainly free to do that. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. That's all one word together, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. Again, you feel free as you feel led. Also, you're invited to come and service with us. We work with small churches, New Zion Baptist Church in Richton, Mississippi. That's located at 341 Cochran Road, Richton, Mississippi, 39476. They have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. You're more than welcome to come there. We also work with Faith Church in Mobile. They're located at 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama, 36608. They have 11:30 Sunday morning service, 4 o'clock Sunday evening service, and 7 o'clock Tuesday night service. And certainly, you feel free to come to those services if you would have the opportunity. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take this message, use it to your honor and glory. And Father, we pray that for the good that is accomplished, we'd always step aside and give you the praise. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen.